So, in 2026, you can basically type like three sentences into a prompt box and generate a completely fully functional application. I mean, it
Yes.
literally feels like magic. But if you actually want to be the engineer who builds those underlying systems, the very first thing you need to learn has absolutely nothing to do with artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I know it sounds completely counterintuitive when you put it that way, but it's the absolute reality of the industry right now. I mean, we have this massive influx of people who want to transition into tech, and they immediately try to sprint toward the shiniest new object.
Right, which totally makes sense, because if you're looking at this field from the outside, you are basically standing blindfolded in a chaotic hardware store. Like 100 different people are yelling at you to buy 100 different
Oh,
tools.
for sure.
Someone is screaming that you only need to learn prompt engineering.
Yeah.
Another person is saying, deep learning is the absolute only way forward. It's just a definition of information overload, and it leaves you completely paralyzed.
It really does. Because when everything is presented as the most urgent, most critical thing you must learn today, the natural human response is just to freeze. You end up like hoarding tutorials and never actually building anything at all.
Yeah, and that is exactly why you, the listener, are probably tuning in for this deep dive. You want to understand this field, but the internet is just flooding you with contradictory advice. So today, we're pulling out a map. We are looking at a source called the 2026 AI Engineering Roadmap, Essential Skills and Fundamentals. And our mission is to basically cut through the noise, tune out all the people yelling in the hardware store, and extract a clean, step-by-step blueprint.
And honestly, the most refreshing part of this roadmap is the de-escalation of panic. Like, it explicitly outlines that you do not need to learn everything at once.
Right, take a breath.
Exactly. The real value here is the emphasis on pacing. It advocates for building a foundational understanding of how these systems work mechanically, rather than just furiously chasing every fleeting software update that pops up on your social feed.
Yeah, so let's start with the starkest warning in the entire document,
Yeah.
which goes back to that counterintuitive idea I mentioned at the top. The roadmap states that focusing entirely on AI tools is a massive beginner's trap because, tools change, but core skills stay.
Yeah, that's a crucial point.
If you only learn how to navigate a specific software interface, the moment that company goes under or, I don't know, updates their layout, your entire skill set just vanishes.
Right, you become obsolete overnight. But if you learn the underlying language and the mathematics of how those systems ingest information, you become adaptable. You are no longer just an operator, you are an actual engineer.
And the undisputed starting line for that foundation is Python. It remains the most heavily utilized programming language in artificial intelligence. And the roadmap is very reassuring here, actually. It says you don't need to be a grandmaster software developer on day one. You just need the basic syntax, like variables, loops, functions, and structures like lists and dictionaries.
Yeah, think of those Python basics as just learning the alphabet and basic grammar rules. I mean, you simply need to know how to construct a coherent sentence before you can write a novel. And once you understand the syntax, the roadmap points you towards specific Python libraries, namely NumPy and Pandas.
Okay, I constantly see those two names thrown around in these tutorials. Are they just like shortcuts for writing less code?
Well, they are essentially heavy-duty machinery for manipulating data. And artificial intelligence is completely reliant on data. So NumPy, which stands for numerical Python, allows you to execute massive mathematical calculations across huge arrays of numbers almost instantly.
Wow, okay. And pandas.
Pandas is for data manipulation. So imagine you have a data set with 10 million rows of customer interactions. If you try to open that in a standard spreadsheet application, your computer will probably just crash.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. So Pandas allows you to filter, clean, and analyze that massive scale of information programmatically.
So Python, those libraries are the machinery. But this brings up a section of the roadmap where I suspect a lot of people, myself included, honestly might start to sweat a bit. The next mandatory skill is math.
Ah, yes, the dreaded math section.
Yeah. When I see math on an engineering syllabus, my brain just immediately pictures a chalkboard covered in advanced theoretical calculus that I haven't even thought about since high school. Like, do I need to be a math genius to do this?
It is the single most common barrier to entry for people trying to learn this, but the source directly addresses this anxiety, thankfully. You do not need to invent new formulas or be some advanced theoretical
I'm
mathematician.
that guy.
Right. However, you do need a solid conceptual grasp of foundational concepts. The specific areas listed are statistics, probability, linear algebra, vectors, matrices, and just basic calculus.
Okay, conceptual grasp or not, that still sounds incredibly daunting. Like, why is linear algebra actually necessary? What does a matrix have to do with getting an AI to recognize a picture of a dog?
It all comes down to how machines actually perceive reality. I mean, an AI does not have eyes, right? It doesn't look at a picture of a dog and see fur or a tail. It only sees geometry and numbers.
Right.
So when you feed an image into a computer, it breaks that image down into pixels, and each pixel is assigned a numerical value based on its color and intensity.
Oh, I see. So an image is just a massive grid of numbers to the computer.
Exactly. And linear algebra, along with vectors and matrices, is the mathematics of manipulating those grids. When you apply a filter to an image, or, you know, when an AI scans that image to detect the edges of a dog's ear, it is literally performing matrix multiplication. You're using linear algebra to translate the visual world into a coordinate space that the machine can actually digest and calculate.
Okay, wow, that makes the math feel infinitely more practical. It isn't just abstract numbers on a board. It's the literal translation layer between the real world and the computer.
Exactly. And then statistics and probability come into play because artificial intelligence is fundamentally an exercise in guessing.
Wait, really? Just guessing?
Yeah, pretty much. AI does not operate on absolute certainty. When a language model predicts the next word in a sentence or an algorithm flags a transaction as fraudulent, it is just calculating probability. If you don't understand the underlying statistics driving those probabilities, you won't understand how your models are arriving at their conclusions. And more importantly, you won't know how to fix them when they inevitably start making mistakes.
Yeah, that makes total sense. So now we have the machinery with Python and we have the translation layer with math. How do we actually put the engine together? This is where the roadmap transitions to machine learning. And the text notes this as a massive paradigm shift in how computing fundamentally works.
It really is. Prior to machine learning, if you wanted a computer to perform a task, you had to write an explicit, rigid set of rules. Like, if condition A happens, execute action B. Machine learning completely abandons that rigid structure. Instead of writing rules, you feed the computer data and force it to discover the rules on its own.
Right. And the source lists several core concepts you have to learn here, like supervised versus unsupervised learning, regression, classification. It's a lot of terminology to throw at a beginner.
It is, yeah. So let's break it down mechanically. Think of supervised learning as giving a student a stack of flashcards where the correct answers are printed on the back. You feed the computer labeled data, like 10,000 emails, explicitly marked as either spam or not spam.
Okay, so the computer knows the answer it's looking for.
Right. And then unsupervised learning is handing that same student a massive pile of random, unlabeled documents and telling them to find patterns or group them by similarity completely on their own.
Interesting. So how does a concept like classification actually work beneath the surface? Is it just like sorting things into digital buckets?
Not quite. Classification is mathematically drawing a boundary line through a massive cluster of data points. So imagine a graph where every email you've ever received is plotted as a dot. The spam emails cluster in one area based on the words they use, and your personal emails cluster in another area.
Right, okay.
Classification algorithms basically calculate the optimal mathematical line to separate those two clusters. So when a new email arrives, the algorithm checks where it lands on the graph. If it lands on the left side of the line, boom, it gets flagged as spam.
Oh, that's such a great visual. And what about regression?
While classification separates things into categories, regression predicts continuous numbers. It's basically analyzing the trajectory of the data points to predict a slope. So you use regression if you want to predict what the temperature will be next Tuesday, or, you know, forecast a company's revenue for the next quarter based on historical trends.
That analogy of tuning the math is super helpful. I picture machine learning almost like tuning a massive soundboard in a recording studio. Every single slider adjusts a tiny probability, and you just keep feeding it data and tweaking those sliders until the final output sounds like a perfect song. But all of this statistical sorting hits a pretty severe wall, doesn't it?
It really does. Standard machine learning algorithms are incredible at finding patterns in structured data. You know, things that fit neatly into rows and columns, like spreadsheets or financial records. But reality is rarely that organized.
Right. Like if you're trying to build software for a self-driving car, a live video feed of a busy intersection in the rain is just unstructured chaos.
Mm.
A standard algorithm drawing boundary lines on a graph isn't going to cut it.
Exactly. To solve that problem, engineers had to build an entirely new architecture, which the roadmap identifies as the next crucial skill, and that is deep learning. Deep learning is a specialized subset of machine learning that utilizes neural networks, which are loosely inspired by the biological structure of the human brain.
Okay, and the roadmap mentions needing to understand things like TensorFlow and PyTorch. But before we touch the frameworks, what does deep actually mean in deep learning?
Deep refers to layers of abstraction. In a neural network, data passes through multiple interconnected layers of artificial neurons. So let's use your self-driving car example. When the camera feeds an image into the network, the very first layer might only be capable of detecting simple contrasts, like light versus dark.
All right.
Then it passes that information to the next layer, which uses those contrasts to detect simple edges and lines. The next layer combines those lines to recognize shapes, like circles or octagons.
And by the time the data reaches the final layer, the network has combined all those abstract shapes and realizes it's looking at a red stop sign.
Precisely. It breaks the complex reality down into manageable hierarchical pieces. Deep learning is the engine powering the most advanced applications we see today: real-time voice translation, facial recognition, autonomous vehicles. And the roadmap advises that, as a beginner, you don't need to build a neural network from scratch using complex mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
You just rely on those frameworks you mentioned, TensorFlow and PyTorch, which already have pre-built architectures you can utilize.
So if deep learning is the engine that allows a computer to recognize a stop sign or transcribe my voice, what powers the logic behind modern AI, like the systems that don't just recognize patterns but actually create things? That pushes us into the 2026 frontier on the roadmap, which is generative AI and large language models.
Yeah, this is where the role of the AI engineer has fundamentally evolved. Generative AI models like ChatGPT, Google Gemini, or Claude have shifted the landscape from pure analysis to synthesis. They generate novel text, write functional code, and design images based on the data they were trained on.
But the roadmap emphasizes that just knowing how to type a question into these models as a consumer isn't enough. You have to understand prompt engineering, which honestly, it always sounded a bit like a buzzword to me. Like, is prompt engineering really engineering, or is it just being polite to the chatbot?
Oh, it is absolutely engineering.
Nah.
But instead of using Python, you are constraining and directing a neural network using natural language. The roadmap highlights specific techniques you have to master, such as zero-shot prompting and few-shot prompting.
Right. So zero-shot is asking the model to perform a task completely cold without any prior examples, like write a Python script to scrape this website.
Yes, exactly. And few-shot prompting provides the model with a structural pattern to follow before asking it to execute the task. So you might provide three distinct examples of how a complex data set should be formatted into a specific JSON structure. You are essentially calibrating the model's output in real time, nudging those statistical probabilities toward the exact format you need for your software application.
That makes a lot of sense. You're building guardrails.
Right.
But even with the best prompt engineering in the world, large language models have a glaring flaw. They only know the information they were initially trained on, and they are incredibly prone to hallucinations. Like, they will confidently invent a fake historical event or cite a non-existent legal precedent just to fulfill the statistical probability of the prompt.
Which is completely unacceptable if you were building enterprise software. I mean, a hospital cannot deploy an AI that hallucinates medical dosages.
Definitely not.
So this brings us to what the roadmap identifies as perhaps the most critical practical skill for modern AI engineers, which is RG.
Right. Retrieval augmented generation. Let me try to conceptualize this. Tell me if this analogy works. Standard generative AI is like a brilliant student taking a final exam entirely from memory. They are highly capable, but if they forget a specific date, they might just guess and make something up so they don't leave the answer blank.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
But RG is like giving that same brilliant student an open book test. Before they answer the prompt, they are strictly required to look up the exact verified facts in an approved library, and then formulate their answer based solely on those facts.
That is the perfect conceptual model. RG anchors the creative reasoning of an LLM to hard verifiable data, but the actual mechanism of how it retrieves those facts is where the real engineering happens. The roadmap lists vector databases and embeddings under this section.
Yeah, I see the word embeddings everywhere in these tutorials. What is an embedding? Is it just a fancy term for searching a keyword?
Not at all. A keyword search just looks for exact matching letters, right? If you search for dog, it won't find a document that only uses the word puppy. Embeddings solve this by translating concepts into numerical coordinates on a multidimensional map.
Coordinates, like GPS for words.
Yes, exactly. But instead of mapping physical locations, it maps semantic meaning. When text is converted into embeddings, words or concepts with similar meanings end up clustered close together in that coordinate space. So dog and puppy live in the same mathematical neighborhood. King minus man plus woman points directly to the coordinates for queen.
Oh, wow, that's wild. So when I ask a Ragi system a question, it translates my entire question into one of those coordinate locations.
Exactly. It plots your question on the map and then searches the vector database, which is just a massive storage system for these coordinates to find the most relevant, closely clustered pieces of information. It retrieves those factual documents, augments your original prompt by attaching those facts to it, and sends the whole package to the large language model to generate the final answer. Retrieval, augmented, generation.
That mechanism completely bridges the gap between creative AI and reliable software. It's literally the difference between a chatbot giving you a generic, potentially hallucinated answer about company policy, and a system that instantly retrieves paragraph 3, section B, of today's newly updated HR handbook and explains it to you flawlessly.
Exactly. It is the backbone of trustworthy AI applications in 2026.
Okay, so we've covered a massive amount of theory here. We started with the foundational machinery of Python and the coordinate translation of math. We built the engine with machine learning and deep learning. We added the modern reasoning capabilities with Gen AI and RE. But, you know, understanding the physics of an engine doesn't automatically mean you know how to fix a car. How does the roadmap suggest applying this in reality?
Well, theory has to meet practice. The source is adamant that running code on your personal laptop is not engineering. You must learn version control systems like Git and GitHub. When you're working on a team of 20 engineers, you absolutely need a system to track changes, merge code, and collaborate without accidentally deleting someone else's work.
Right. And the roadmap also emphasizes APIs, which are application programming interfaces.
Yeah. APIs are how different software programs communicate. If you build an incredible machine learning model, it's totally useless if it's trapped on your computer. An API allows a web application or a mobile app to send data to your model, get a prediction, and send it back to the user. You also need to understand basic cloud platforms like AWS or Google Cloud, because real-world AI models require massive computational power. They live in the cloud, not on local hard drives.
I also noticed the roadmap dedicates a significant section to data cleaning and preparation. It's easily the most unglamorous topic on the list, but it seems to be the actual bottleneck of the industry.
Oh, it is the hidden reality of the job. Beginners want to spend all their time tweaking neural networks, but in the real world, data sets are messy. They have missing values, corrupted files, and massive biases. Mm. If you feed garbage bias data into the most sophisticated neural network on the planet, you are just going to output highly sophisticated garbage. An AI engineer spends a massive portion of their time simply wrangling and cleaning the data before the machine learning even begins.
Which gives us a much clearer picture of what the day-to-day job actually entails. According to the source, AI engineers aren't just sitting around philosophizing about artificial general intelligence. They're building tangible systems. They're designing the algorithms that recommend videos and keep people scrolling. They're building models that detect fraudulent credit card transactions in milliseconds. They're analyzing customer behavior to optimize supply chains.
Yeah, the role is fundamentally about problem solving. You identify a business problem, you gather and clean the data, you architect the appropriate AI solution, whether that's a simple regression model or a complex RA pipeline, and you deploy it to the cloud.
This blueprint brings incredible clarity to that chaotic hardware store we started in. The sequence is logical, you know. Don't jump into prompt engineering first. Start with Python syntax. Understand the mathematics of how data is structured. Move into the mechanics of machine learning. Explore the abstraction layers of deep learning. Then, apply it all using generative AI and R, and finally, deploy it using APIs and cloud platforms.
The progression builds very naturally, but we must highlight the specific traps the roadmap warns about. We discussed the danger of focusing on tools over skills earlier, but the most common trap is rushing the foundation.
Oh, definitely. The temptation to skip straight to building a ChatGPT clone is so strong. You see the headlines, you feel the imposter syndrome creeping in, and you just think you're falling behind every single day.
But if you skip the math and the machine learning fundamentals, you will hit a wall the exact moment your advanced model breaks, because you won't understand the underlying mechanics of why it broke. The roadmap's advice is deeply grounded here. Consistency beats speed. Lay down one conceptual brick every single day.
So, as you navigate this rapidly shifting landscape in 2026, remember that building a career in artificial intelligence doesn't happen over a weekend. The industry is saturated with people who crammed for a certification and only know how to operate one specific tool. Companies are desperate for engineers who possess practical, built-from-scratch skills and understand the foundational mechanics.
Mastering those mechanics is what gives you staying power. But it also leads to a fascinating implication about the future of this profession, which is something definitely worth pondering as you start your learning journey.
Oh, what's the implication?
Well, if AI engineers today are heavily relying on generative AI to write code and using RE to build systems that autonomously learn from data and optimize their own prompts, we have to ask where this inevitably leads. Like, how long will it be before the day-to-day role of an AI engineer stops being about manually writing syntax and formatting data sets and evolves entirely into managing, mentoring, and auditing an AI that effectively engineers itself?
Wow, that is a staggering shift in perspective. Moving from the person pouring the concrete to the architect managing the autonomous builders. It definitely reframes how you should think about the skills you are learning today. So when you look at all those confusing tutorials and software trends, take off the blindfold. Ignore the noise. Pick up your first tool, learn the mechanics, and take it one step at a time. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.